Well, today's message is called The Beauty of Bethlehem. And I've actually had the privilege to be a tourist going to Bethlehem. I went there about 13 years ago. And I would think that Bethlehem now is not as beautiful, certainly as it was when the Lord Jesus was born there. I remember going to Bethlehem and arrived outside the city walls. And if you go to Bethlehem now, there are huge walls surrounding the city, big concrete walls like the Berlin Wall. I don't know if you've ever went to Germany. I went to Germany before the Berlin Wall came down and we saw a city that was enclosed, East Germany there. Well, if you go to Bethlehem, there's this huge wall. And I remember getting off our bus and we had to go through like a checkpoint in the wall. And our Jewish bus driver and our Jewish guide was not allowed to enter the city of Bethlehem. So we had to get off our bus and get another bus to go into the city. Bethlehem is not as beautiful as it was with that wall around. But if you go to Bethlehem, you'll find that it's at an altitude of 2,500 feet. It's about 6 miles from Jerusalem. A couple of things I want us to think about Bethlehem today. When we think about the beauty of Bethlehem, Bethlehem was a place of royalty. King David was born and raised in Bethlehem. And David also kept sheep around Bethlehem. And you'll remember he was anointed there. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" And in 1 Samuel 16 verse 4 we find, "So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem." And if you read 1 Samuel 16 verse 13, he was anointed there by Jesse. So Bethlehem is a place of royalty. And of course, there is another king that was born in Bethlehem, and that was the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.'" Jesus was born king, but Jesus was the rejected king. If you remember, when Jesus was before Pilate, this is what the chief priests said. Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." The Lord Jesus, born the King of the Jews in Bethlehem, he was the rejected king. But one day he's coming again as the reigning king. And I look forward to the day when Jesus comes and when Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. The king is coming again. Matthew 25, 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" The rejected king is coming as the reigning king. Bethlehem was a place of royalty. Secondly, Bethlehem was a place of redemption. If you read the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, you'll find that Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, both journeyed to Bethlehem. And as you trace that story, you find that Ruth finds her kinsman redeemer. Ruth finds help. Ruth finds sustenance. And Ruth finds a husband there in Bethlehem who is Boaz. Bethlehem was a place of redemption, a place of redemption for Ruth. And Bethlehem is a place of redemption for the world because the Lord Jesus came as our Saviour to die on the cross for the sins of all humanity. The book of Colossians says in Colossians 1 verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 says, For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bethlehem is a place of redemption, the place where our Redeemer, our Saviour, entered this earth in the form of a man. Thirdly, Bethlehem was a place of revelation. Christ's birth was revealed to the shepherds in the hills outside Bethlehem. Now, when you read about the revelation of the angels to the shepherds, it's interesting as you study the nation of Israel. For nearly 400 years, no prophet had given any revelation to the nation of Israel. If you look at the nearly 400 years, the actual 400 years of silence end with the coming of John the Baptist as he comes to the nation as the forerunner. But at this time, at the birth of the Lord Jesus, there was nearly 400 years of silence. Then suddenly the heavens open and the angels speak to those shepherds. And the revelation of God, the land had been silent of God's revelation. But the revelation of God burst the heavens and they announce the fact that there is a Saviour that came for all people. After hundreds of years, God speaks again to the people of Israel through an angel. Why didn't God speak to the priests and the scribes? God doesn't send an angel to them. God sends an angel to shepherds. You know, in that day, shepherds were a despised people. And the glory of God was made manifest to these despised people outside the hills of Bethlehem. Why not the priests? Well, I think many of the priests in the nation of Israel had lost their vision. They'd lost their concept of a Messiah that was going to come and deliver their people. They were blinded. They'd got caught up in all sorts of laws and man-made laws and regulations, and they were imposing them on the people. And more than that, their land was now occupied by the Romans. And I think many of the religious people had lost their hope, had lost their vision. And so an angel and a group of angels appear to the shepherds. After hundreds of years, God reveals himself to a despised people. Luke 2 verse 8, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13 tells us, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Great news. After nearly 400 years of silence, finally the Messiah, the promised Messiah, had come to the nation of Israel, the promised King, the one who is to deliver them from their sins. I want to ask you this morning, do you know that Jesus is your Saviour? I think one of the saddest things about Christmas in Australia is that you go to the shopping centres, this is not sad, but you hear the Christmas carols going out in the shopping centres. You see signs on the streets about Christmas, Christmas sales and all sorts of things, signs outside churches. You hear the radio and there's Christmas carols going out. And largely, the people of Australia are blind to the fact that a Saviour has come, a Saviour that can change their lives, a Saviour that can deliver from sin, a Saviour that can give a new start. We are a blinded nation. And even though day after day we might hear the Christmas songs, we're blinded to the fact of a Messiah that has come for us. You know, Christ was revealed to those shepherds. And those shepherds then went and revealed Christ to others. They wanted to tell others of a Saviour born. And if you and I have trusted Jesus as our Saviour, one of our number one things as a Christian should be that we are witnesses. Witnesses in our lives and witnesses in our words. And this is a primary time to witness for the Lord Jesus. I went to a newsagent the other day to buy a diary, and I'm looking around to see if I could find the cheapest diary possible, and I found one. And I went up to the girl at the desk and I said, this is not brave, but I said, I've written something about Christmas, and just gave her the tract. I had a man come to my house. We bought a new fridge. We're going to have a few family over for Christmas, probably about 25, 30. Our fridge broke down. I think some fridges have a habit of breaking down near Christmas time. So I had to get a new fridge. So Judy and I, we bought a new fridge. But shock horror, it wouldn't fit through the door. It wouldn't fit through the front door. It wouldn't fit through the back door. So I rang up Mr. Harvey, his workers, and told him about the problem I've got. And they ended up, I had to get a contractor to come out to pull the doors off so that I could get the fridge through the door there. The contractor comes out, and as he's going, I give him a tract. And on the front of the tract, it says, Christmas is different this year. He looks at the front of the tract, Christmas is different this year. We need to be a people that are taking the opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. When the shepherds got the revelation of God from the angels, they didn't keep it to themselves. They went out and they told the good news of a Saviour born for them. You know, statistics differ, but on average, on Christmas Day, in the 24-hour period, 153,000 people around the world are going to go into eternity. How many of them have heard of a Saviour that has died for them? Primarily, God is not using the mouth of angels today to spread the gospel. God is using human beings. We are living letters. We are witnesses of the Lord Jesus and the great news. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 said, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Bethlehem was a place of revelation. And lastly, Bethlehem was a place of refreshment. Do you know what the name Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. The bread of life was born in Bethlehem. In 2 Samuel 23, David longed to drink from the waters of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a place of refreshment. And Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You know, at Christmas time, people are trying to find fulfillment in things that will never last. People are going to have drunken parties, trying to use alcohol to fill their thirst. And they'll take another one and another one and another one, and they'll be thirsty always. Bethlehem was a place of refreshment. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you have an emptiness in your life? Is there something you actually can't fill in your life? You've tried a career, you've tried education, you might have tried alcohol or drugs or romance or relationships, and there's an emptiness inside. You know, most Australians have that emptiness, and they can't have any fulfillment until they come to the bread of life, until they come to the Lord Jesus, until they come to understand what happened at the house of bread when the bread of life became humanity. Well, the beauty of Bethlehem. The beauty of Bethlehem. It was indeed a place of revelation. It was a place of royalty. It was a place of redemption. And it was a place of refreshment. And the beauty of Bethlehem is only really discovered when you understand the truth behind the birth of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came as the Saviour of the world. Jesus was born at Bethlehem, crucified at Calvary, raised from the dead, and ascended now into heaven, and is at the right hand of the Father, and he shall reign forever and ever. And as John put it, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.